Welcome to the Grand Connection Podcast, your home for grand growth through collaboration. This is your space to connect, create, and collaborate in a community of heart-centered entrepreneurs and change makers. Hosted by our community, this podcast brings collaboration to life. You will meet members who share their wisdom, offer insights and practical tips, and even interview each other. If you're ready for more clarity, stronger connections, and better results in your business, you are in the right place. Listen in, connect with us, and be part of something grand. Hello, it's Susan here again at the Grand Connection Podcast. Over the last few episodes, we have been exploring what it really takes to grow sustainably in this new world of business. We have talked about the CCC framework, Connect, Create, Collaborate. We connect through relationships, create ideas and trust and clarity and systems, and collaborate through shared ownerships. We've also discussed how connection opens the door and how clarity builds trust. How collaboration works through podcasts, books, and partnerships. How to be a great guest and a collaborator externally, and of course, how to be a great collaborator internally by understanding yourself and your mind from Ray McCauley, who runs the Neuroscience of Connection Self-Mastery Program. We also learned from Steve Gaston just how critical clarity in your systems is if you want to scale. And today we're continuing that journey because collaboration does not stop with visibility or networking. If you want ideas to turn into real results, collaboration has to live inside your business too. For many of us, moving through the journey to scale means a real shift from doing everything ourselves to building systems to delegating and very often to hiring our first VA. Now, I'm super excited to welcome today's guest, Jessica Koch, who is a founding Grand Connection member. Jessica is a longtime collaborator with the Grand Connection and has spoken on our stage many, many times, sharing her expertise on systems, marketing, and working effectively with a VA or a VA team. She also puts her hand up the most in all of our big events and graciously honors other people in the room. That's collaboration in its finest. She's a sales and marketing strategist, podcast host who helps entrepreneurs scale with automation and collaboration. She's the founder of the new Legacy Gratitude Community. Her mission is legacy focused, helping people turn what they know into income, influence, and generational impact. Oh, I love that. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you. And I was listening to all your past wonderful guests, and I just feel like I'm in such good company. And you know, funny enough, the first thing I thought of when you said your CCC was the CC on an email, right? Who are we incorporating when we pull in together on the email? I know there's three C's, not two, but that was the very first picture I had in my mind of how we incorporate and pull people together.
You know, I never even thought of that. Yeah, you see, like the BCC is kind of a secret person.
But that's right. That's
your plan. You can see everybody that's been harming Polly.
That's right. Yeah. That's the backstage CC.
The start of email collaboration, CCs. And I know there's many in office that hated that when you get CC'd on hundreds of emails and you don't want to be part of.
But the etiquette, and then everybody answers and replies incorrect.
Oh my God. And then finally somebody says, please remove me from this email. Okay. We're digressing because we're not talking about emails today. What we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about your team and your VA team. What has always stood out for me, Jessica, is the way you support entrepreneurs in building and leading VA teams in a way that's clear, human, and sustainable, which aligns beautifully with how we approach growth through collaboration within our community. So our first question, I kind of want to dive right into this is, you know, many of our listeners have been learning how to collaborate outwardly through networking, podcasts, partnerships, ways to increase their audience. Why is learning to collaborate inside your business just as important?
Well, I think it's this and that. It's always all the things, right? So I loved how you started with the getting it together and the clarity inside ourselves, right? And, you know, that mind shift. And then it is also, you know, your communities, you know, because I have really carefully selected the Grand Connection and the different communities I've kept that I'm continuing to mark with, because I reevaluate that all of the time. And in those communities, you then find your referral partners and your affiliates and all of these things that we're talking about, these systems and this buy-in and this team support can be applied to all these areas. But your VA team is, as you outsource, or even your direct employees, is a really special kind of relationship because they can really wrap themselves into the mission and really get excited about it. And so actually can your referral partners and your affiliates, because that is when you're moving from, okay, let's make some sales and share some commission to let's create a movement and do something really powerful together. Let's move this mountain in front of it because it shouldn't be here. And let's pave a way for something more beautiful to happen. And when you get people excited and involved around a concept in that way, then they've taken ownership and it isn't about you anymore. It is about the vision and what you're about to achieve together.
Well, I know you're doing that with your upcoming summit on, yeah. Now tell it, what's the summit about? Tell everybody a little bit about it.
Well, the summit is almost really, it's a spring off truly, if you think about it. I'm at my 10-year birthday this year for Profound Professionals, my podcast. And I started before it was, you know, it was all the cool kids had a podcast years ago. And I decided that I kind of got this feeling that all the amazing people that I was meeting in this virtual space and this great way we were communicating and networking from all over the world, you know, to the Steve Gastons in Scotland and UK and, you know, all these places that we were talking to people in Australia and everywhere. I thought, you know, I don't really think the gift of these people in my life is just for me. I need a way to share them with others. And that's part of why that started. And that led into, you know, being an Italian mother of seven and having 9 children and being 53 and fabulous, earning all of my shiny silver highlights. No, those were not put in there by a professional. They were
put people in there. Do that now. Like, you know, there's a girl on the lift today and she had silver hair. And I'm going, wow. I said to her, I have this naturally.
Mine was given to me by the big guy upstairs. But anyway, you know, and this has always been my thought. I'm very spiritual and I always want to, I have this exciting idea that there's going to be these great people I meet on the other side when I'm no longer on this planet that say, you know, you did something for so-and-so. And they were inspired and did something for me, you know, like the way we can support and bring great things to happen is legacy, right? And when we live our best selves and we honor and love ourselves to live our best moments right now, we really do have this really cool opportunity to inspire others for hundreds of years to come. And that's what legacy is. That is, and that in so many other facets, right? Also generational wealth and creativity and history and story and grandma's recipes and quilt and just, you know, all of the beautiful things that make up who you are and who you came from. And so that moved into this legacy gratitude community. The summit itself is just kind of the birthday party fireworks explosion into the community that will be meeting twice a month to network, to mastermind, and to have conversations about living our best life now, having the most amount of money right now, so that we'll have inspiration for others for hundreds of years. And some, you know, we're about to have what in the United States our 250th birthday. Well, there are people and families right now from the families that founded in the 1900s that their families are about to enjoy approaching 200 years of generational wealth because it was set up correctly. Not because they were lucky or hit the jackpot or, you know, made a whole lot of money. There are many families that made a whole lot of money, but their families aren't still enjoying it to this day. It's about a plan. It's about making a decision and executing it that way. And that is a big piece of our legacy gratitude community. And the other piece is what you can apply with your VA teams, your affiliates, your all the people like we're talking about with these systems. The other piece is the gratitude piece. It's giving us a space and a container where, you know, I love that you mentioned other people who aren't here in this podcast right now, so that, you know, later I can reach out to the both of those people who I know because of you and say, hey, I was on a podcast with Susan and we were talking about you. And that's the kind of talk about you that you want to have in the world, you know, giving people a space to when we come together, instead of just, you know, hey, this is my 30-second commercial, which is important to know what people do. And hey, this is all the stuff with me, me, me. What about, here's something great about someone who's not here today that I really want you guys in the room to know about. And one sentence about, oh, here's someone in the room. Let's pin them to the screen too. I want to tell you, Susan, how much the effort and the journey you have gone through to create a space for me and the Grand Connection has meant to me. The thought you put into all of the ways to promote me and my business into the Grand Connection website, and all the different things that I have an opportunity to take advantage of, and all of the different smaller kinds of meetings that touch the topics that I care about, especially the authors group and the AI group, because they speak to me. And I feel like you've done that for me. And I'm so grateful for you.
That's going to be a great summit. And I'm collaborating as part of it. And I know a lot of our community is as well. So this is an exciting event for us to be part of with you too, Jessica. I want to circle back to our story about the VAs. VA2 stands for virtual assistant, in case it's a new word to you. I get the odd person says, what's a VA? You know, they think it's a drink, right?
Well, and sometimes they, of course, we also want to honor all those people who have served in the United States, our country. So veterans and things. So sometimes the VA, if you don't say virtual assistant, it can be confused.
Okay, I didn't realize that one. So that's another thing to be careful. What are the top things that a VA would do for somebody getting started?
I'd say social media is a big one. And even with some of the AI tools and wonderful softwares, organizing the follow-up from a chat after a, you know, even if it can be automatically done with AI, it then needs to be properly imported into your CRM system, and someone you need to properly and respectfully and ethically follow up with all of those people. So a lot of follow-up, a lot of social media, a lot of things like, you know, creating new free gifts or funnels and the, you know, sending the emails out and creating and posting the scheduling, all of the social media and, you know, following that engagement and trying to keep up with the true communication in your groups and your communities to make sure that someone is, you know, making comments on the comments and, you know, checking all the notifications and all the places that you've been tagged. And, you know, all of that can be, I mean, almost a full-time job. So that's that. There's a lot of things. And, you know, you talked about getting one when you're just starting out. When I first started out, I only had 3 consulting clients, 12 or 13 years ago at this point, when I first established my agency. And I didn't want to put myself into, you know, trouble with, you know, hiring someone, but I also really didn't want to do the things. And so what I did was I literally, this is a true story, looked around the house and figured out what was not being used and found an online marketplace and sold a bunch of stuff and pulled together like $500. And I said, this is going to be my pot of money for my virtual assistants. And then I went on and I hired 3 people all at the same time. So I highly encourage this format of a group interview. So you find the people within the platform that you're looking for to find the VA, right? Or however you're searching for them. There's lots of, that's a whole class right there on how to find them in different places and how and what's the process. But when you find them, send them all to a group interview at a certain day because you've got to honor your time. And then they're all in the room together. They all do the same thing. You have an agenda and a process of interviewing everyone. And then you reach back and you hire 3. And here's what you say. This is not full time. This is based on project only. I have this particular project. I need you to do this many hours on it. And then stop and we'll meet and reevaluate the work you've done. And then I'll let you know when the next project it might be in a couple of weeks. It might be in a month. But this is up front. They understand this is the working relationship and they're okay with it. And you get all three of them to do that, because this way you're training three and you're working with three and you're getting comfortable with the style of three different people. You'll find that they have different skill sets so that you can assign them different tasks. But you also find that one may not work out, and then you don't want to have to start from ground zero, do the interview. And again, you still have two, you're okay. You know, so this is a very important way to begin the process, I think.
So you picked a time and you say this is a group, and you let them know, I guess, ahead that it's a group interview. And how do you learn about them? Because there's 12 people. How do you get to know who's
just like in a networking event, we go around.
Oh, my gosh. I never thought of that.
I asked specific questions. I said, you're going to share the out where who you are, where you're from, what your key talents are. And they already know this all too before the event, because I put it in the interview. I put it in the job application description. So they get that whole kind of run of show. They know they're going to share links and samples of their work. They know that they're going to give me the hours and Eastern time that they're available and days that they're available to work. They already agreed to the hourly rate that I'm willing to pay, and that it's based on project and need only and not regular work. You know, like everything is very transparent and clear. And they have very specific directions to follow prior to getting into the meeting. And when they enter the meeting, what they're supposed to do, because you're also testing to see, do they follow directions and are paying attention to detail? So you get to actually, it helps filter some of what might be the best person to work with you out as you go through the process.
Well, I've never done this group interview, but I have worked with lots of different VAs and programmers offshore and in, you know, many different places of the world. And I always test people out on a small project first. And it's not hard to just have some little thing. It's going to be, you know, a couple of hours to do. And you see if they follow through and how the quality of the work is. And then you give them one more. And it's very similar to when you're collaborating with somebody. We have said this in earlier episodes. You're not getting married on the first date. Same with your team and the people you hire. You try them out. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about a contractual relationship like a VA is that there isn't all the hiring process. Like, you know, for people who are listening and they have bigger companies, there's a lot more work that goes into some hiring somebody as an employee. And it's harder to do that testing than you can with a VA.
But there is still, I mean, it's still a process, which is why I say hire three, mm-hmm. pick three and work with them and give them each a small project. And you may not need them again for a couple of weeks or a month, but, you know, depending on your budget, and give them money making actions. There's micro tasks behind the things that make you money. So think about what's going to lead you to your next client, and think about all the things that you do to get that next client. And think about the micro tasks you can hand to them, because that should be where you're focused with all of your energy first. The reason is you'll then build up your pot, which is what I did, to grow your team, add more hours, get them full time, and begin to really have the budget for a VA. Even if you start out with no budget, like I did for a VA, I had stuff I sold on Marketplace, online, and made my...
So I'm assuming that the productivity you got from that $500 brought you more revenue and continue.
Oh, yeah. And that's how we grew together. And I was transparent about that with them too. So they were invested. We were going to make money together and achieve our goal. And that's part of how they got the buy-in, because then they knew I would be able to expand their hours. And then I did expand their hours and they got even more motivated, because I asked them what their goals were, what they wanted from this relationship. You know, you really need to know, even if they're an employee or a virtual assistant, even though you're hiring them, what is it that they want from the relationship? Maybe they're trying to support their children's school in their community. Maybe they're trying to get and build their first house. That's actually a goal and that we've helped some of our virtual assistants achieve, you know, and you know, they have family land, but they need to build the house. Or what is it that they want? And find out. And then incorporate into the process a way that they see they're getting where they want to go. And so is your company getting where it wants to go with its mission and what you're trying to achieve. Make those two things align.
So it sounds like you really get to know them as individuals too, right?
Absolutely. What they care about and in their, and I know how many kids they have in their families and often extended family. And some of my VAs have been with me and I 9 years, 7 years. It's, you know, we become a family. And they also, I link them into like pods where they support each other on different client projects. And so then there's at least three of them that can cover each other. So they feel like they can breathe. So, oh, my kid has to go to the dentist, but we've got this client meeting. The other two pick it up and they take care of the client and the other person gets to go take their kid to the dentist, right? And, you know, they feel like they have a team and support inside the family, you know, and there's not so much pressure on just them so that they have to like pretend they're sick or hide or, you know, make up excuses because they need to miss something, you know, or they don't know how to do something. Then they can reach out to the master main group that we have that has everybody in it, that thread, that large thread, and they can reach out and say, hey, we have a client that wants this. I've never used this software. Is there anyone on the team that knows it? And they'll pull in and they'll work on the client's project and help and train and teach and even just support. And sometimes it's just a one-time thing and they just need it done and they get it done. And, you know, then there's some relief because it's scary when there's there's a brand new something and you don't know how to use it. But it's great when you can reach into your community right within the team and say, hey, help, I need help. Someone, can you cover this for me? You know,
well, that's a wonderful culture that you've created, because I see that my team, I'm inspired now, Jessica, because my team is more, they're working in silo. A lot of them, they know each other from like a WhatsApp group thing when they've had to share some information or give each other files or something. But I'm thinking, you know, what I'm going to do is set up a once a month meeting where everybody just gets together. And it's more fun. Like it would just be share what's going on. Everybody introduce each other and make sure that, you know, they know how they can each support each other and then maybe share some skills that they have that can help other people learn from them. Great idea. So see, we always learn in community and I'm always learning from Jessica, because I remember when I first met you, I was just like, you are accomplishing so much. How do you get it all done? And Jessica has a treadmill right at her desk. She's one of those people that she is multitasking all the time. And how do you have, how many kids do you have? You said it earlier.
7 children and 9 grandchildren. Our youngest is 14 and she's in all-year travel soccer and she's in 9th grade in high school. So I'm also on the gala committee for the annual fundraiser for her high school and in representing the school in our local chamber in person and attending women's lunches in person and, you know, on all the things for my business and my husband's business. And I also kayak, paint and sew and travel and, you know, so all the things.
Well, you're inspiration for all of us, Jessica. I'm trying to get that team together like you have. So what's the starting point? Like, let's say, you know, we're not going to end up having this team like you have tomorrow. How do we notice that we need help? Like, assume somebody here is listening does not have a VA yet. They're trying to figure out what's this point where they realize, you know, they can't grow alone anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I realized it for me, it was a Wednesday evening. We had dinner as a family. We lived 3 minutes from the water. We have a boardwalk. We walked on the boardwalk and we came home and we were playing Yahtzee. And during Yahtzee with our daughter, I was thinking, I need to go in there and make sure I get all those chats. And at that point, they didn't have the AI, right, to make all the chats become a spreadsheet and then reach out and follow up with all those people that I networked with during the day while my kid was at school. And then I thought, I don't want to be thinking about this. I want to be present with my kid for Yahtzee. And I don't want to do that. So I want someone else to do that. And so I would say, you know, you need a VA when you have something that's on your mind that isn't down on the list yet that you don't really want to do, but you know you need to do it because otherwise, what the heck did I go to those little virtual networking things for anyway, just to put my shiny face in there and say I was here? And what did it achieve for the goal of my business? Not a lot.
Well, if you're not doing that follow-up, it's a waste.
Right. No follow-up. I'm not. I'm just going out and having a good time virtual networking, which is all also, you know, maybe that's your goal. But, you know, I knew I didn't want to do that. And I knew, and I'm also a sales, you know, a marketing expert, and I know what needs to be done to really have high level full pipelines and good sales. And I also know that I'm a hardworking Italian girl who wants the option to be lazy. And so if you're thinking while you're doing a task that, this is my least favorite thing to do, and I'll tell you what, one of the other ones that really surprised me that I immediately handed off to a virtual assistant, and it was in its own way a money-making task. I was procrastinating sending invoices to my clients because I hated doing it. I just hated the process. And guess what happens when you don't send an invoice to a client?
What happens? Tell us.
They do not pay you. And it is not their fault.
1 out of 10. So 1 out of 10 will actually say, hey, you haven't invoiced me yet. I want to pay you. But 9 out of 10 don't.
No one's calling you to say, hey, I'd love to send you money. Couldn't you send me that invoice? Yeah, that's not happening. And so I immediately handed that off. And you know, instantly my revenue burst.
Oh, I know. I do my main invoicing once a month. Like I have stuff that's automated, but the main bigger clients, it's once a month because they're kind of like project client stuff and hourly things. And, you know, if we get behind or something, it's just suddenly like, why is there no money to pay? Oh, you haven't done your invoicing.
I don't want to do it. Don't do it. I also hate checking. I don't check email. I hate checking email. I do very little in my email because I just despise spending the time that I'm breathing in an email box. So I don't do email. But what I will tell you is that once I made a decision about these different tasks that I knew immediately, I don't want to be doing this. While I was doing the task, I was on a Zoom like this. I shared my screen and I give you all my blessing that you're not crazy and you're totally have permission to talk to yourself. And that's what I did. I did the task and I talked myself through it. And I'm clicking this and I'm doing this because of that. And I chose this because of this. And I click, 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 and I did the task. And then I had a video recording of what I didn't want to do anymore ever again to one day hand off to the correct VA, to a virtual assistant, virtual miracle worker, virtual amazing person, virtual superhero, to take that off my task list and be my hero.
That segues well to the next areas, like how do you delegate tasks? I remember you telling me this, just record the task. Do record yourself doing the task.
But wait, there's more. So, and they get the recording and I give it to them. And then I ask them to take that recording and make a document of a step-by-step checklist of step one is this, step two is this, step three is this from that recording. So they have to listen carefully and break the steps down. And then I review it to make sure that all of the steps are there. And then I get on with them and I do one of the tasks. And we also know about how long it takes me to do the task because we're doing it together and I'm explaining it. So it'll probably take even longer than, you know, it would once you get into the rhythm, right? And we double check the checklist together to make sure as I'm doing the task while I'm on with them live and we're sharing screen and recording again, but we're going through their checklist and I'm doing it step by step to make sure we didn't miss any steps. And then I pass the share the screen to them and they do one. And I don't get to say anything, but watch them. And they can call for a lifeline and ask me a question if they need help. But they get to do one in front of me so that in case they thought they understood it, because when you see it, you write it, you listen to it. But until you do the task, you don't have the confidence that, I've got this and I'm doing it exactly the way she wants me to. And so they do that. Then. And this is done even with the most simplistic tasks. So, for example, you're going to copy and paste these 10 emails for me or these 100 emails for me, because sometimes we send them through our big CRM system, but sometimes we're sending a manual one and we want to do it through a different system and we really just want to send it the one time because we don't have permission to have them in our phone. You know, we want to do respectfully, but we need to send a lot. There's a checklist for that, for them to glance at in their notepad every time that before they hit send, because when it's the science is that if we do a repetitive task like that, you need a checklist even more. Like pilots who've been flying for 40 years do not get to go until they hit their checklist. So they have to check, okay, this is supposed to go to four emails, the main client and, you know, three CCs. So that's the first thing at the top of the checklist. Check the emails because that's the top. Then this is supposed to be the subject line. I'm supposed to remove the FW for the forward, you know, or whatever. Then I have to check that the name, hello, whoever.
How many times have you got an email where it's someone else's name? You know exactly what's happening.
Matches Susan to the email. It also says Susan to the client. And that there's an attachment or whatever it is. And then I get to hit send. You know, and they have to look at that every time and they understand. And I've told them how brilliant I think they are and that it isn't because you aren't smart or can't get this. It's because as human beings, the smartest human in the world will make a mistake on a really super repetitive, you know, task, especially if we're tired or hungry or distracted, whatever. We're human beings. We're not AI and robots. So that's an important thing. But having the experience of them being able to do a couple of them, especially if there's a chance that there's a lot of, oh, except for when this happens or when that happens, you know. So, for example, when I have one of the tasks I have them do, which your audience may find this interesting because this is unique. In LinkedIn, I'm a member of groups that have my ideal collaboration partners and things in it, like other podcast hosts or other speakers or other authors. And I have my VAs from their own LinkedIn profile join those groups. And then we go, because you can send a direct message even if you're not connected to them by being a member of the group, within the group. And this is in the free version. There's no, this is not a paid version special or anything special. We don't do a ton of them. We're ethical. We don't spam the groups. We don't break any of the rules. But I want them to reach out to these people within the groups that meet a certain criteria. So they have to be from certain areas, they have to have certain things in their titles, there's certain things in their profiles that say this is the right person to get this message, right? And then it's a very soft and professional loving message too. Like, I'm the executive assistant of Jessica Kott. She has a podcast. She's interested in possibly featuring you. We do have a small collaboration fee. Are you interested in more information? You know, and so something very, so they won't feel surprised if they say, yes, I want to be on your podcast. And then we send them something that has there's $43 charge for this. You know, we don't, you know, but the point is to find those right people inside those groups, because sometimes there's 62,000 people in the groups. And sometimes it's a lot of people who support the people in their groups that you want. I had the VAs in front of me. We went through and it was their turn to show, and they had to say, okay, I'm saying this person's a yes because they meet this, they meet that, they meet this, but it's a no, big red flag no because of this, right? And so that was an exercise sometimes people are like, oh, well, only I can do that because how can I teach that? Like,
yeah, because this is something you intuitively would know is the right person to reach out to. How do you teach somebody else on your team to do that?
Okay. Everything is teachable. Everything is teachable because I look at it and ask myself, well, why am I deciding yes or no for this person? And I taught and I tell that person in a recording why they're yes and no. And so we make a yes and no column spreadsheet or Word doc so that they have that to look at too. So, oh, they're from this country. Oh, they speak on this topic. Oh, this is in their headline. Oh, you know, they have a full and complete profile. Oh, they have, you know, they have activity and postings. Oh, they've, you know, put something in there, you know, featured it. Like, we go through and decide together, does this person look like they would be of value to our community, and that could we bring value to them? And these are all the guidelines, and we go through it together. Now, and that only took me, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes, and I got a whole bunch of my team members who can do that without a blink. And I could pull up any profile, and they could tell me yes or no, those are our people. And
these are the kind of tasks that a lot of people don't think about getting other support to do, because this isn't bringing you business. This is not. One of the easy ones is to get someone to do social media posts. They can get them ready. You can review them and give feedback on the design and give feedback on the content, right? And another thing a lot of people are doing is, you know, our VAs are using AI too.
Ours too. We have certifications. Yeah, there's a lot.
So they're using AI, and I create a branding document that they all have to upload, or you can create your own GPT for their content creation that they use that, and it keeps it within your frameworks too. So a lot, I know, Jessica, you've spoken at our Grand AI group. We're not going to go into a whole bunch of AI stuff now. You're talking more about the people side of things today. And a lot of these tasks could be done with an AI agent and some people checking throughout the way too. So you can take this and it could be a hybrid of AI tools so that you can get more done with less time.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And your team becomes part of the AI solution as well. And they're using AI so that, you know, what they used to do one, it's 10 times in their work.
Yeah, but you want to dissect it with another human first before you, because then that dissection is done to input into the prompt or the tool or the training from an AI or software perspective, right? Because you hear how we went through all the different aspects of the of profiles and things. And there's some things like LinkedIn, I will never use AI. I would never use an AI to do that because I would want to always respect the third-party software and integrations and stuff like that for platforms that have rules about that. You know, I couldn't use a tool that went in and found the right people, you know, unless I was paying for their sales navigator or something. And some of that may have some of those parameters within it, you know, within the tool itself. So do be careful what you are integrating and passing off to software and AI and task agents and things, because you have to make sure that you're respecting the rules of the platform or you may just not be on it anymore.
Something to think about. And I know Jessica has done some talks. We have a Grand AI group. There's a lot of recordings in our learning library. Some of you did a great one on the strategy of N8N using an AI agent, which is really powerful to go through. This has been a powerful discussion on how to use a VA, seeing your real secret tips and tricks that you're doing with your own team. I'm getting a lot of ideas, Jessica. You've talked about these recordings. That's kind of like an SOP, right? Standard operating procedure.
Yeah, they couple that with the written piece, and we organize all of those in a Trello board. So each of those projects gets its own card, it gets its own recording, it gets its own document that goes with it and titled so that that operation or system, a process in the company has a tool and a resource right there.
And when you're looking for a VA, are there specific ways to find the right person? Sort of, what are you looking for?
Well, I ask a lot of questions, you know, about the tools we use and what their expertise is and when they're available, you know, and if they're comfortable with basically how we work, right? Based on project and need, based on our rate, based on just how we operate. So, because if someone comes on, even if they're an amazing, you know, magical human, if they're unhappy with the way you move through business and work with your team, then it's going to be short-lived and kind of a waste of time for them and a waste of time for you. So just making sure that you're very clear with how you do things and that that's comfortable for them and their freelance style is a big piece of it. And don't give up on people. I've had some people who were super eager and didn't have as many skills, but really were eager and excited to learn and motivated to learn. And now they're some of the best, most talented VAs we had. And I had to walk them through everything from the beginning. So there's something to be said for mentoring and investing time in people, especially if they show up.
You know, one of the best people on my team, I let go earlier on because she didn't have a good eye for the design. And now she's back and she's an amazing at other areas that she's better than anybody else. So I brought her back because she had said, she reached out again and said, I have some new skills, and gave her a try. And I'm just like fabulously impressed. So you never know, right? And that's one thing too, is I'll say to somebody, well, what are your best skills? Like, what do you stand out for? Because you've got so many tasks to get done. Everybody's a little bit different. Find the things that they're best at.
Exactly.
You might try to get somebody to do everything. And that's why I like the idea of having three people. It gives you that backup, but it also gets the best of the best for people too. Yes. So you're getting what they're skilled at. Yeah. Awesome. This has been fabulous. And what I want to do is we're going to have a part two with Jessica, because this is so great. We went a lot into how to work with somebody, the systems, and some of the way Jessica is hiring people. And I've learned a fabulous amount of of things right now. I'm just very excited about this. So what I want to do is we're going to do part two, which is going to go more on to collaboration and culture. So that'll be next week. So follow this. So if you're just listening, just keep on listening. Or if this is all that's out there, you're going to have to wait till next week to release. Jessica, how do people get a hold of you?
So my website, jessicalkoch.com. So L like Lynn, Jessica L Koch, KOCH.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, and we'll be launching legacygratitude.info very soon, another website that'll have a lot of information on it too.
Well, thank you so much. We're going to see you next week. In 5 minutes for me, because we're going to continue on with the conversation here. But for those listening, if you are listening right now, go to grandconnection.ca, grab a guest pass. You will very likely meet Jessica in one of our breakout rooms at a Grand Connection event. Or go and get your Grand Growth Bundle at grandconnection.ca/gifts. And we'll see you very soon to connect, create, collaborate in your business and with your teams.
That's right. Come back.
Thank you for joining us on the Grand Connection podcast, where we achieve grand growth through collaboration together. If this episode sparks something for you, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend looking for a community to support their growth. Before we sign off, today is a grand day to reach out to someone in your own network and reconnect. You never know where one conversation can lead. Until next time, let's connect, create, collaborate.